What's up, everybody? Welcome to Shooting the Sports Ish, the NFL Week 10 recap. And I am here. My name is Tony. Tony on Sports down below somewhere. You can check us out. Come hang out, watch our content over here. Follow us on social media at Shooting the Sports Ish. You can also check us out at shootingthesportsish.com. But tonight, I have with me my homies, mi amigos, Cam and Tom. And boys, are you ready to talk about some NFL?
Yeah. I'm ready to discuss some things that I may have predicted wrong yesterday or the day before, possibly.
Sounds like a... Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm ready to discuss things that I was also wrong at, except for I had the good fortune of not being recorded when I said it.
That's true. That's true. Speaking of which, let's hit that bumper and we'll get into the show. All right, guys, let's talk about NFL Week 10 here on Shooting the Sports Ish. And as we go into games, what we're going to do, since as Cam said, he didn't have the good fortune of or he did have the good fortune of being not online for this, not live for this. We can he doesn't have to worry about reacting to his own comments about games.
Getting freebies.
Getting freebies. He's getting away. We will talk about Ravens Pats when that wraps up. That game sucks. Let's talk about Steelers versus Bengals first, guys. So I said last night on the show, I don't have the clip for it, but last night on the show, I said, Fenton, what did I say about the Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers? Do you remember, or are you too old?
I would like to believe that you said the Cincinnati team is pretty good, but I don't trust them.
So I said that if the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to lose a game, it would be to the Cincinnati Bengals. And they said, hey, Tony, you're a dumbass. 36-10. Cam, give me your thoughts on this game. How Big Ben threw for 333 yards and four touchdowns. Chase Claypool is back, had two touchdowns. Really good game from the Steelers. What were your thoughts?
In honor of Fenton, I will not call Chase Claypool by his other NFL given name.
Mr. Buttersworth, not on the show. Nope, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to be high on Cincinnati, and I think collectively we all are, but it's a game like this where you realize, oh yes, we're high on them for 2 years from now. We're not high on them for 2 weeks from now. And this Pittsburgh team just walked in. Like you said, a lot of people said, oh, this could absolutely be a trap game for the Steelers. And the Steelers walked out there and again reminded people why they're the team to beat in the entire NFL.
I like that take a lot. I like saying that they are the team to beat in the entire NFL. What about you, Fenton?
I'm beginning to believe more and more in the Steelers' defense. At first, I thought they were a real suspect, and I didn't trust them at all, right? But consistently, it's the time of possession that that Pittsburgh team is getting back to their winning ways again, and that is what should be scaring people in the AFC right now. Because, again, as you mentioned, Ben had a great game. But it wasn't just Ben. Pittsburgh pretty much shut down Cincinnati. And at that point, it was Ben, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. And that's with one of their better young defenders being out for the year in Devin Bush as well. Right. So, I mean, good for them. Way to step up.
Yeah, the Steelers looked really good. They did have some nice statistics there defensively. Joe Burrow's not even on the box score, which says something. Joey Burrow did throw for 213 yards and a touchdown, which went to T. Higgins, who, by the way, whatever you play, whether you're gambling, what's up to Monotone Football, who is here to say, I hope everyone made some money. I did until the Sunday night game. God damn, did I lose money after that. But T. Higgins had 7 receptions, 115 yards. I plugged T. Higgins into every one of my daily fantasy lineups this week, and I won like $75 from fantasy football this weekend.
You want to give me a dunce crown? I have T. Higgins in fantasy, and I didn't play him this week.
Oh, no. You know what that means?
Yeah, I started Chris Godwin over him.
That's not a bad play, though. You can't
beat yourself up there. It wasn't the right play, though, so I lost.
It wasn't the right play, but you can't be mad at yourself for not starting T. Higgins over Chris Godwin.
I lost that fantasy game by 2 points.
You can't be mad at that, though. No, because no. You play T. Higgins in you didn't play T. Higgins in a bad matchup. That makes sense. That makes complete sense to me.
Yeah, it wasn't like I have a wide receiver on a bye week or T. Higgins and I played
the
bye
week. First loss on the year, kids. Brutal.
Let's talk about.
Some of us experienced our first loss in week one, so we've grown to understand losses.
I was 0-2.
I'm from Detroit. We know about losses, all right?
We're Texans fans. Get the fuck out of here. 49ers versus Saints. Let's talk about the 49ers versus the Saints game.
Do we have to?
We have to because some emerging news came out of this game. Famous Jameis Winston started in the second half. They say Drew Brees is hurt. Drew Brees only threw for 76 yards, 8 of 13, threw a touchdown. Let's be honest, this was Alvin Kamara. He had three touchdowns. He had two by air, or one by air and two by sea or ground, whatever you'd like to call it. Yeah. He is, but he did that on 98 yards. So you're talking about efficiency. Alvin Kamara was awesome. The Niners are bad. The Saints did pull away 27-13 in this game. Cam, you got any takeaways, any thoughts on this game?
I think the Niners are vying for a top seven pick this year with Mullins and their injuries and stuff. And it's just, I mean, it is what it is. And then, you know, they're going to get into everything in the offseason. I also weirdly think, and I'd like to kind of throw this out there for you guys, is Alvin Kamara all of a sudden underrated? Like, did we just have this weird flip where people were like, well, he's not the every down back that he should be. So all of a sudden he's not a guy that can get you three touchdowns on 100 yards and he's underrated now?
I like that take. I agree with you. I think we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry this year, a lot about Dalvin Cook this year, probably not enough about him. I mean, I'm with you. I think the biggest takeaway for me in this game was Jameis coming in and eating those W's again. I think it's cool that there's a comeback player. I don't want to talk about his history. I'm saying from an NFL standpoint, I think it's kind of a cool story. But Tony, I'll go back to you. It was real interesting how that Brees injury or maybe non-injury happened in this game.
Yeah, I question whether he's actually hurt or whether they just don't want him to take any more hits.
Right.
I don't know, man. They're 7-2. Jameis Winston's not known as somebody that's going to win a bunch of games for you. He was only 6-10 for 63 yards, and he was sacked twice. Brees wasn't sacked once.
Sure.
Brees hasn't looked bad this year. You had to be worried about him at the beginning of the season, but now he's looked pretty good. He's up in the top 10 in passing leaders. I mean, there's no reason to go away from him. He's got to be injured. And Sean Payton after the game did say that very rarely does Brees ask to be taken out, Cam, but he wanted to be taken out. He couldn't do it today.
I think that's smart. I think, again, that's just kind of like the wily old vet move that we call it, right? Where he knows enough to know that Brees isn't going to hoist a trophy by beating the Niners in week 10. He just knows that. He's smart enough to look and go, I don't have it. It's not a nick that I can play through. Let me sit this one out. We've got a comfortable lead. We're at home. I trust it. Then we'll figure it out next week.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting game. I mean, they're still winning. They're going to win that division most likely, unless they just fall off. Because the Bucs are probably too far behind them now. They're at four losses.
That I think they're just too far behind right now. So I think even as you mentioned, if Nola falls off even a little bit, I don't know if it's going to be enough for the Bucs to catch them in the current position. So I think you're pretty accurate with maybe we need to protect our assets now moving forward. And that may have been one of those things.
This was one of the takes that I had that wasn't recorded, so I have to stand by the Bucs are winning that division no matter what. So I'm just going to sit on that limb because that's where I am.
Yeah, we'll see. The Bucs.
I know the math is right. You're saying is 100% correct, but I have to sit on that limb.
On the flip, though, Cam, everyone's back for Tampa now. The lineup that everybody wanted to see is in.
It's all good.
The guys are in.
Yeah.
And I think we should probably talk about Tom Brady next, Tony.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the Bucs and the Panthers. I also said last night that the Carolina Panthers were going to win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I said take the money line. I said take them straight up. I felt good about it. I said their defense was good enough to win that game. Tom Brady, Tom Terrific, came in there for 341 yards, three touchdowns, and had himself the Tom Brady 1 yarder for a touchdown, four total touchdowns. Oh, and Ronald Jones had a 92-yard touchdown. So, you know, good old let's pound.
Yes.
Keep pounding, Teddy. Keep pounding away on that defense. My God, man.
I was shocked, Tony, and I'm sorry, but I was just shocked at what Ronald Jones was able to do to that defense. Now, I wasn't shocked with Brady, with Brown, Evans, Gronk, Godwin. I get it. But, like, what Ronald Jones was able to do. And the thing that scares me still about Tampa at this point is Leonard Fournette is your catching running back. That is still a concern to me. Because Leonard's not very good at catching the football, and his production then goes down.
Go ahead, Cam.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm going to give you a real take, and then I have a fantasy football take as well, which we can get into, which has nothing to do with anything. I think to your point of what you said, Tom, we're going to see bigger production out of Ronald Jones because of everybody you mentioned, because that offensive set is now in full force and they're now working. And what they were able to do to Bridgewater early, right? And you talk about like, okay, well, you know, the JPP interception catch, which was awesome to watch. Okay, Barrett was on his heels when he was making that throw. So it was an errant throw, but it was an errant throw that was caused by quarters worth of just like destruction that they had on that offensive line for Carolina in different ways that they were getting to Bridgewater the entire game. And the fact that Ronald Jones had he can now say that he has the longest touchdown play from scrimmage in Buccaneers history. I think it's just an awesome thing for people to be able to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It is an awesome thing to say, for sure. And if you guys want to follow any of us, you like any of the takes we have, I did go ahead and put up the usernames on the bottom at Tony on Sports, at CM Says Stuff, at Thomas Fenton WNW. So if you wanted to, please check us out there and make sure to go to at Shoot Sports Ish on all social media platforms and follow us. The Buccaneers look like this is my problem with the Bucs, and I kind of touched on this last night. There are weeks that they are whooping on the Packers, whooping on the Panthers. And like the Panthers are 3-7, but the Panthers are a good losing team. Like, I don't think that's not a surprise to anybody. It looks like they have their man in Bridgewater. He needs some pieces. He needs probably some O-line help. Defense apparently needs help, even though I thought that they didn't last night. But the Bucs, they're just so inconsistent, which is weird to say about a 7-3 team, but they're very inconsistent. They concern me. Like, this is a team that lost to the Chicago Bears. I can't forget that they lost to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Tony, this defense is not good. I mean, they're simply not good.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense has been both good and bad this year. I don't know how you say which one it is.
Because I say this as a whole. So as a whole, you can't have games where you're getting blown out by 45 left and right.
Yeah.
And I said this with Tampa, too, a few weeks back. It's almost like a race to 35 with them. If they can get to 35 first, they win. If they don't, they lose. And it's scary as hell if I'm a Tampa fan.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think a lot of the biggest question marks come from their secondary play.
Sure.
I don't think that they don't have three defensive backs that they can trust enough to put on the field to make stops when they need to. Yeah. But if their front seven is cooking the way their front seven was today, I don't know if there's a better one in the league. If everybody's front sevens are hitting on all cylinders, I don't know that you can name one better than Tampa. I think there's a group of four or three, but I don't know if there's one better.
Sure, but when I go back to it, Cam, you're absolutely right. Okay, the front seven is very good. And maybe that's more of an indictment as well, though, is how bad that secondary part of their defense is.
Yeah.
For me to even question that defense, what you're saying has a great front seven at worst, okay? That's really bad if I'm saying the defense is bad, is looking on their secondary.
Their secondary is a bunch of young people, too. That's the end. It's like they're super young in the secondary, which can be an issue, but... I don't know. We've talked a lot about them. We got a lot of football left to be played. So let's go ahead and move on to,
I have a fantasy question.
Go for it, brother.
So this week, I'm in a dynasty league, right? So that is a setup.
Yeah.
I now have Shaq Thompson, Shaq Lawson, and Shaq Barrett all on my team. And I don't know if I need a nickname for those trios or if I need to rename my whole football team. But right now, as it stands, the leader in the clubhouse is mergers and Shaquisitions.
Nope. Tony, I like Shaq Attack.
Shaq Attack is boring.
Okay, nope. Name it Kazan.
Come on, man. You think outside the box.
Name your team the Fighting Kazams. You have three Shaqs, man. That's three goddamn genies.
It's true.
That's a lot of wishes.
I thought that's mergers true. And Shaquisitions.
The Lions need them. That's mergers a lot of wishes. So the Texans, they need a lot of wishes too.
No, we are not getting to that game. We're going to talk about the Raiders and the Broncos first because that's more fun. I thought the Raiders and the Broncos was going to be a close game again last night too because the Broncos have played almost everybody close. The Raiders put up 37 points and they picked like now mind you they did this with only 154 yards. From Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs had 112 yards for two touchdowns. Devontae Booker had 81 yards and two touchdowns. They ran the ball 41 times for 203 yards, 5 yards a pop, and four touchdowns. Picked off Drew Lock four times. Holy shit, what a game for the Raiders. The 6-3 Las Vegas Raiders who look playoff bound. And looks scary as shit for a contender because that is not a team you want to play.
What it was a beating for me is what it was for fantasy football. I played against Jacobs and I lost that game.
What were you going to say, Cam?
No, I was going to let Tom go. But what I was going to say was this is what I'm so interested in, is the Raiders, and I've talked about them at length on my show on the website,
true
plug, don't care. But this Las Vegas team, can absolutely go 11-5 this year, which it's been decades since we've been able to say that about the Raiders or a John Gruden football team. But I have a stat that is going to both make you laugh and cry and go, what the, all at the same time. If I may.
Yeah. What? Go, of course you can.
Drew Lock has a 66.5 passer rating so far this season. Here are the quarterbacks since the year 2000. Oh, yeah, get ready, buckle up. Who had a passer rating below 70 in their second pro season, minimum 200 attempts. Akili Smith. Kellen Clemens. Joey Harrington. David Carr, shouts out. Cade McNown. And the last two, my favorite, John Skelton and Brody Croyle.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Who?
How dare you disrespect Joey Harrington like that?
Oh, yeah.
Led the charge for Gridiron.
The great Oregon Duck that is Joey Harrington, I will never hate on. I had his jersey in college. I will never hate on
him. Jersey. Nice looking thing.
An Oregon Duck jersey. I had it, yeah. But yeah, that's the list that Drew Lock now finds himself in through year two.
I love that. This is a good opportunity to ask you about the Raiders, man. Cam does the sports market with our partners and is powered by them at Symbol Exchange. You can visit them if you look there at symbol.app down below. It's awesome. You can buy and sell stocks there. It's basically like day trading, but with NFL teams. So as they're doing better, their cost goes up. As they're doing worse, their cost goes down, and you get dividends paid out based on wins. What's that Raiders stock looking like? Is that somebody I had to check out?
So the Raiders stock right now is at $24, which I actually really like.
Yeah.
At 24, I think it's a little bit of a steal, especially it's where they are right now. Just to put it kind of into context where they are, the stocks around them are the Chargers, the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Eagles.
And that's
two teams above and below where the Raiders are right now.
And the Ravens are the top at like $38, right? Isn't that their high?
No. So the Ravens are no longer the high team. The high team right now is the Packers at $34.50.
Yeah. So that shows you $10 cheaper for it. So if that's something you want to do, I would check them out. They do deposit matches all the time.
Yeah. The Ravens are actually $27.50 a stock now. They've fallen from 38 from weeks ago.
Where is Arizona, Cam?
The Cardinals? Great question, caller. The Cardinals are at $28.75 a share.
Let's talk about the fighting Kyler Murrays and Tom, you're gonna have to wait a minute here. Ooh. Cam, we traded that bad man. Bill O'Brien traded that bad man, who, by the way, in the post game basically said, "Hey, y'all know how in basketball you can dunk on people? Well, there are like three people there." So that's what he said. Motherfucker said, "I dunked on these fools and won this game." Man, the points were set at 56.5. That over hit. The Cardinals did not cover the spread. The Bills covered the spread. You had 284 yards passing from Josh Allen, two touchdowns, two picks. He also caught a touchdown. Kyler Murray threw a pick himself, 245 yards and a touchdown. He ran for 61 yards and two touchdowns. But most importantly, DeAndre Hopkins made one of the best catches we've probably seen in 5 years.
Yeah.
He had seven grabs, 127 yards, and a touchdown. The Cardinals are, I'm still not 100% sold on them because of their defense. But there is something about Kyler Murray's magic. And Cam, they have the best receiver in football. Is there any argument anymore to that? Like, can we say, who's saying it's Devontae Adams? It is with DeAndre Hopkins. Am I wrong, Cameron?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm a DeAndre Hopkins homer for the rest of my life. So yes. I'm going to say yes. I love this Arizona team. And what they're able to do. Funny story, in a league that I'm in, that line was actually set at 1.5. So the Cardinals did cover, and some people were not happy about the end of that game. But I'm with you defensively. They have to be able to play defense at some point. These 30-point, 40-point shootouts are awesome, and they're fun to watch. But at some point, they're going to need to be able to make a stop. But when you have a guy like Hopkins, you're always in the mix. A la if you have a guy like Calvin Johnson, you're just always going to be in the mix for stuff like that because they're wide receivers that can go up and make big plays for you.
Yeah.
Two things. You mentioned Mr. Calvin Johnson. So I haven't seen a receiver look like Calvin Johnson until DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm sorry to push that dagger deeper into your backs. That is the baddest wide receiver on the planet, if we're going to quote to Mike Tyson on this. He's the guy. I don't have an argument for anyone else at this point. More scientifically, though, you were talking about his defenses, right? I agree, though. What Arizona doesn't want to turn into is Seattle, in which their defense just lets them down every game and gives their offense no chance. Like, that is going to pose a problem unless it's handled. Again, I know there's some issues, and all teams have issues. Do I think they can fix them? Sure. Kyler Murray has the it factor. He is everything you want in a leader of your football team. He did not back down in this football game whatsoever. And he outplayed Josh Allen, as I said he would last night. I said the real QB will show up in this football game. And guess what?
Yes, you did. This is actually, let me tell you guys, I think I have a video of me taking them. Actually, here we go. Let's give this to you. This is what Fenton said last night. No, that's too much. I will touch just the money line tomorrow. Arizona Cardinals will lose tomorrow. Bills money line is what I'm taking.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't the Bills have some COVID issues? They do. They have four players on their defense on COVID.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. Their defense isn't what's going to win the game. It's the offense, and the Cardinals
Here's
can't stop anybody.
The problem, though, the problem with that being said, and again, I'm not a huge fan of Josh Allen, and he's going to scorch the Cardinals' defense. I get it. The problem is, you're going to keep going all day. Kyler Murray is going to put up more points than Josh Allen defense versus defense.
It's a good take.
One of you from yesterday, but hey.
I think good. That's a weird moment where I think both parties were right going into that game.
Nice. Way to play the middle while you're in the middle.
I really do think that. I think that you are, because, I mean, if you look at it statistically, can we say for sure that Kyler Murray outplayed Josh Allen this game?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we can. I don't think so. I think Josh Allen threw for more and had more touchdowns. And almost
how many did Josh Allen have?
Two.
Kyler Murray still
had one. Kyler had one.
Yes.
So split the difference there.
The biggest
Kyler was sacked three times. Kyler had a worse QBR.
Understood, but I'll go back with Allen, and this is always my problem all season. Between the fumbles and the picks,
sure. He
can't win them the shootouts, and that was displayed tonight too. I don't think he's at the same level. I think Josh Allen is who he is.
He just won a shootout last week. Literally just won a shootout
one this week. That's what I'm saying, though. I think that he is what he is. You're going to get that coin flip.
I just love that we're having this fight about a quarterback who's on a 7-3 team, and he's basically the reason they're 7-3.
He's definitely the reason. Now, mind you,
but I'm just saying, to have this argument, you think he's 4-6? Like, we need to bench him.
You're right. I agree with everything you just said. I absolutely can't even argue that. Okay, the team's played well. They played well because of him. I just don't think he's this next coming in the top five QBs like everybody else.
Nobody thinks that. He is an elite quarterback in the NFL, though, and I don't think that should be I say this because you tell me, and we'll go ahead and jump to the Sunday night football game from this. It's all out of order chronologically after this game. You tell me who you would rather have right now. Would you rather have Josh Allen, who, by the way, made a play that should have won the game? It's not his fault the defense didn't stop it. They only had 30 seconds to make a stop. Josh Allen won that game until Kyler Murray showed up. And that's fine. Both quarterbacks did what they're supposed to do. Both defenses did not do what they're supposed to do. Lamar Jackson shit the bed tonight against the Patriots.
Sure
and
did.
He is their reigning MVP. Now, mind you, his receivers are trash. Like nobody has less help than Lamar Jackson.
Does Hollywood Brown still play
I think Deshaun Watson would like to raise his hand.
No, I disagree.
I would rather have Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, yep. Darren Fells, Kenny Stills than Marquise Brown and the ghost of Willie Snead.
Right.
The most inconsistent receiver that's probably ever existed in the NFL. Not ever, but that, being dramatic. Lamar Jackson was actually okay. 249 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Cam Newton was terrible. 118 yards. He ran for 21 yards and fucked my parlay. Lamar Jackson ran for 55. The problem is Lamar Jackson gets down, and if he's down by 10 or more, he can't win a game. Josh Allen, he can win a game. What's up, Tommy? He says, I disagree. Josh Allen has excelled this year. Yeah, fuck yeah, Tommy. I love you.
I think there's merit to that statement because of where the Bills were last year. There is absolute merit to the statement that Josh Allen and the Bills have exceeded where we thought they would be. Did anybody have the Bills at 7-3 through 10 weeks?
No.
Yes.
Who had that on their bingo card?
I had them winning that division very easily at the beginning of the year.
Did you have them at 7-3?
I thought they would win 10 games. I thought they would win 10 games. So,
but what I'm saying is, to that point, I don't think he's wrong. I think the Bills have exceeded expectation this year.
Yes, I think so too. Let's continue talking about this game. We're out of order here a little bit, but whatever. It's a football
game.
Out of
order. This whole place is out of order. Sorry.
Patriots win 23-17 in another bad weather game from this weekend. There were two. We'll get into the other bad weather game after this. The game just ended, so we might as well talk about it. Listen, Cam and I talked about this in the pregame. There are two teams that it might be time to stop believing in. And I think, Tom, that the Ravens, it's time. Like, the Ravens are going to be a wild card team. And I think the Titans exposed them last year. And I think the Chiefs exposed them again this year. And now the Patriots, who are not a good football team, nothing about that team is a good football team. They're a bad football team. They got a great win tonight.
Money in the football game.
a lot of people lost money because that minus seven seemed like an easy spread. I don't know how you feel. There's not really much about this Ravens team on offense I like. I love their defense. But even tonight, they couldn't stop the run. I mean, 39 carries, 173 yards, and a touchdown from nobodies.
Right. Go ahead, Cam. What do you think?
I think that sometimes we outthink ourselves.
Yes.
The Patriots are a bad, not a great football team this year. I can't say they're bad, because if the Jets are bad, the Patriots are bad. But we forget that Bill Belichick, who is still, by the way, the best coach in the NFL, right? And he's still the greatest coach of all time in the NFL. Bill Belichick was just handed a single-dimensional team, and nobody in the room thought, oh, yeah, he could handle that. He's pretty good. He'll get that figured out. They won't be able to move the ball. The Patriots can absolutely cover or win this game. Like, nobody common sense-wise, me included, I took the Ravens. I lost money on this game. Nobody in common sense land went, wait a minute. Belichick is getting a team that can only do one thing well.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he can absolutely do that because he's been doing that his entire career. Like, nobody thought that.
That's a good point. It is stupid that nobody thought, man, it doesn't matter how bad this Bill Belichick team is. The Ravens literally can just run the ball. Like, not that Lamar Jackson's not a gifted passer, because he is, but this team doesn't want to throw to win. They want to run and control the game. It's just confusing. I just don't believe in the Ravens. I think they're going to have a first round exit this year.
Hey, Tony, here's a question for you. Can we start a poll? Maybe a hot take poll. Would you rather have Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson at this point?
I would rather have Kyler Murray. That's not even a question
I
for me.
I don't think the poll's going to be close, but I think people need to understand where we've reached in the NFL. We have someone who is looked at as the almighty, who could kill everybody with his offense. And now, not so long far from that, we're looking at that offense and we're like,
That's interesting. I think I would want to know, are they flipping teams? Do I get to pick how I want to? Like, am I putting Lamar on Arizona? In which
yeah, like, does Lamar get at? Lamar Jackson get to chuck prayers up, like, to Larry Fitz?
If it was either Kyler in Baltimore or Lamar in Baltimore, I kind of still want Lamar in Baltimore because I think Kyler'd get killed. But I'd rather have Kyler in Arizona because he can throw the ball better than Lamar can.
I love your idea and thought process behind that. I was more or less talking in general, but thanks for ruining my point, Cam.
Kyler,
can we move on?
No, Tom, the answer is Kyler, and I agree with what you mean by that. Lamar Jackson just won the MVP less than a year ago, and somehow the answer is already like, oh, he's, you know, just Michael Vick A-side.
Yikes. Let's move on. Browns versus Texan, the other
Spoiler alert, Lamar Jackson's a better quarterback than Michael Vick. We can continue.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for covering our asses. The Browns versus the Texans, it was 10-7 in a game that was delayed by hail, which the funniest thing on Red Zone today was to see was the like pregame where Baker Mayfield just got that huge snow jacket that they get in the NFL. And he's like this. And someone has to go tap him and say, hey, motherfucker, we're going back to the locker room, man. Like, you know, there's hail hitting you in the face. What's wrong with you, you dumb shit? Like, it was the funniest thing to me to see that. And then you have the game comes out and it was terrible. This game, like, if the weather was good for this game, because last year's game was awesome. The Texans destroyed Baker Mayfield in the first half, turned him over three times. In the second half of the game, Baker came out and almost stole the win from the jaws of defeat. This year, he gets his revenge on a terrible game where the first touchdown you said took 33 minutes. Is that what you said, Cam?
I think it was 50-something minutes because the first touchdown didn't happen until the fourth quarter. So I think
there were two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah, but it took like 47 minutes of gameplay for the first touchdown to happen, or 48 of the 60 or whatever it was. I don't know.
Yeah, these QBRs were bad. Deshaun Watson was better with 52.1. QBR for Baker Mayfield was 39.1. The thing is, there's not much to talk about with this game, except that last night Fenton did say that he would take a parlay with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and Duke Johnson all to cover their overs on rushing yards. And if you had legitimately placed that, I bet those odds would have paid out very nicely.
Every over for three running backs in one football game wasn't even in the question. And that was before we knew the weather, though. So Tony,
we knew the weather was going to be bad, not this bad.
Yeah, not this bad, right? Exactly. We thought wind, a little bit of rain, right? We ended up getting typhoons and hail and dinosaurs and all kinds of shit in Ohio. Again, every running back hit, though.
Every running back hit. There's nothing else to say about it. Like, you can't take anything. Like, we don't know anything more about Houston. We don't know anything more about Cleveland.
I disagree with that. I think we know more about Houston because in a game like this, you need your offense to show up a little bit. And I think this is just another way to prove that Houston doesn't have the firepower to play. They don't have the right tickets to play the game. They're standing in line for a game that they want to play and they have the wrong currency. And nobody will admit it. And I don't know why nobody will admit that. Like, they suck.
It's because of Deshaun Watson. Like, and Deshaun was good. But the thing is, though, before this game, going into it, Deshaun Watson was playing as good at quarterback as everyone else. They just don't win.
Sure, because the rest of the team sucks.
Okay, I'll take it. Speaking of teams,
that's one of 22 players. One of 22 is not a great fraction.
Right. You're right, Cam. It's not a good fraction.
It's just not. Can I bring something up?
The Lions stock is one of 22.
No, God, no. The Lions actually have a decent stock right now. So the Browns right now are 6-3. Okay.
Okay.
The Steelers are it, right? That's their money.
Yeah.
You don't know about Baltimore. This is the remainder of the Browns schedule. Okay. Tell me if you can spot 11-5 in this schedule. They're 6-3 right now.
Right.
Philly.
Yep.
Jacksonville.
Yep.
Tennessee. Tennessee might be a loss. Tennessee's good.
I think they can beat Tennessee.
But they can play with them. Yeah. So we have Philly, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Baltimore, both New York teams, and then they end with Pittsburgh. I spy 11-5.
I think they get 9 wins.
I think they go double digits. I think
the team
goes 10-6.
I worry about them against the Ravens if the weather is good and they get pounded on the ground, but they got pounded earlier this year.
But that's what I mean. Is like, we're looking at the rest of their schedule going like, I mean, Pittsburgh's probably the loss. But even then, if Pittsburgh is locked in and they can't go anywhere else and they sit everybody, that could be Cleveland's
11th. Yeah, Big Ben's not playing that game. Big Ben's not playing that game. Juju Smith's not playing that game. Claypool probably plays. Connor probably doesn't play.
Tony? I don't know if Big Ben's playing week 15 at the rate we're going right now.
Unless they want the perfect season, which is fine. And that's
You know what? Let's jump into another game here. Speaking of surprising things.
Like, also, Lions, $21 a share right now. So
I think
that's
time,
too much, Bob.
I think it's time to celebrate a Lions victory here.
Down the field, a Tiger team that will not yield, and with a blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rah, 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 go hard in the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field again, a Lions victory.
Hey, you know what? The Lions tried to lose, and they didn't.
Tried real hard to lose this game. Jesus.
Take it away, buddy. Take it away. You dissect this Lions game while Cam and I listen.
I don't even want to dissect it quarter by quarter because it's not worth anyone's listening time, if we're being honest, okay? We're talking two awful football teams that nobody wants to hear about. I'll move forward. The Lions get a hold of this football game and go up by a lot. And that's all we're going to say because, again, I told you I'm not bringing down my points. It doesn't matter. This is your classical Lions meltdown. They go up by multiple scores. They let a really bad team back into a football game. This week they escaped that really bad football team who happened to be worse than they are to win the game at the end of the fourth quarter. It took the Detroit Lions overtime to beat the Washington football team after being
No, they won in regulation.
Oh, I'm sorry. It took them to the end of regulation and what would have been overtime to beat the Washington football team. Matthew Stafford had 16 seconds left on the clock, if I'm not mistaken, to make miracles happen, and did. This performance.
Well, I don't understand why you're complaining.
Yeah, you won. Who cares?
This performance today is going to keep Matt Patricia's job now.
No, that's why I'm at
it. Year. So now I have to deal with that rocket science for the rest of 2020, and it's already a shit year that nobody wants to deal with. And now I have Matt Patricia going, where's my moo-moo and my pencil?
Yeah, there you go. It's not a pencil, but I got my Lions blue pen here for you.
Dude, rest of the year now I have to deal with this man. This team is not good. They make bad decisions. Matthew Stafford is going to get killed. I thought he was in the first quarter. I think I texted Tony. Yep, I think Stafford may be dead.
He did.
Dude, this line, this team. Cam, you watched the game. I know we talked about it. What did you think about this? Like, it was just one of those games where the Lions let someone back in?
I was just so happy to see Alex Smith out there again.
Hell yeah.
Just to see him suited up and playing and starting again.
How many yards did he have, Cam?
390.
How many?
390.
Hey, Tony. You can take Mr. Smith all the way to 375 if you want to.
I was just happy to see him back and playing again. This Washington football team, 2-7, still a game out of the crown that is the NFC East. just so everybody knows. And that's with the Giants winning this weekend as well. I understand your frustration. Now, when you get mad about winning to a 2-7 fan, I drift further away from what you're saying. But I get the Patricia thing. I'm there with you. More you win and you keep around a bad coach, the bad
vibe. Your star wide receiver was traded out of town.
Yes.
Mine just decided to go and quit.
Well, that's so not don't my tell fault. Me about you can't project that onto me. I didn't do that. Okay. I didn't, as a city, make Hopkins want to leave. I had an incompetent GM at the helm. That's what we have. By the way, this trio goes head to head in week 12. Just want to
let's talk about the real story here, though, because fuck the Lions, they're terrible. Whatever. The real story here is that Alex Smith did start for the first. No, they're not terrible, actually. They're a good bad football team, just like the Panthers. Although I trust the Lions probably a little more, which is weird. 728 days since the last time Alex Smith started an NFL game. He was told he might die.
He did.
728. So over 2 years, he hasn't played. Told he might die. Told he might have to amputate. Told he may not never walk again. Told that he would never play football again. He started for the Washington football team today. Man, like, there is something about pro sports in stories like this that it doesn't matter what director, what screenwriter, and I'm an English teacher, man. Even like the best books can't give you a story like this. This is a story of human triumph against every single odd, and it could not have happened to a better human being than Alex Smith. Alex Smith is awesome. I've always loved Alex Smith. I have since the day he was drafted. I loved him in Kansas City. I felt bad for him in San Francisco when he was starting there. I hated that they gave up on him for Patrick Mahomes, which, by the way, was the right decision. I knew it was the right decision. I just really like Alex Smith. I think that he is a great quarterback and was, and it's awesome. Like, it was very emotional. Like, I wish there was a crowd. The worst thing about 2020 is that 2020 and COVID took away Alex Smith's moment to just have a tear-filled stadium cheering this man playing quarterback and damn near winning the game. That's incredible. That's incredible, guys.
Yeah, he basically cut his days out in half as far as throwing yards goes. It's actually a little bit more than half. It was 712 days, and he threw for 400 yards.
Shit, he's almost thrown for 700 yards already in two games.
Yeah. I think you're remissing as well. This is the first Lions home victory since October 27th of 2019.
Yeah, that totally is important as Alex Smith coming back.
Wow. Let me just keep drawing it back to you, man.
No home victory.
Let's talk about another guy. There's a couple stars.
That's not out of the realm of normality for you, though.
No, there's a star being born in Washington as well. Terry McLaurin is a rookie. He's obviously looking like he's going to be a star receiver in the league. Seven receptions, 95 yards. He just keeps producing. Antonio Gibson had two touchdowns on 45 yards. He didn't really get to run the ball very much today, 13 carries. But the Washington football team is bad now. They're not going to be – I don't think they're going to be bad next year. I don't think they are at all.
Can we clip this now? Because now I'm recorded.
Yeah, I can clip it.
The Washington football team will win the NFC East next year, and they will win 10 games.
I like that take a lot, and I think there's a very good chance.
Yeah.
Their defense is very good. Like today doesn't look like it because of whatever it happens, but there's a lot of potential on that defense, and you have Chase Young, who's going to be in year two. I mean, I don't hate that take.
I wanted to go 9-7, but I got real jacked up and said double digits, and I can't go back on it now.
See, I wouldn't have fought you at 9-7. I'm fighting you at 10 wins.
That's we'll fine. See what the schedule looks like. Let's move on to...
You're fighting me on everything, Finn.
Let's move on to this game here. And before we do, I have a clip titled Tom is an Idiot game here. Okay. We have... this week rules. Seattle Seahawks 2.5 point dogs versus the Los Angeles Rams.
Hit the breaking news button, Tony.
Okay, I'll hit the breaking news.
Including the sports ish lock of the week. The Seattle Seahawks not just getting the points. Straight up. And Tony, hit those alt odds and run it up to Seattle -6.5.
The best thing I've ever done was figured out how to make a Price is Wrong graphic for the late night ish. I love it so much. The Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson did not, like last night, there was this huge thing where he played. He did play.
Are you sure?
And I'm positive because he threw for 248 yards and threw two interceptions, zero touchdowns. I wrote an article saying he was this year's MVP. I'm sorry, this game takes him out of MVP contention for me. You cannot have a game with no touchdowns and two picks. That's awful. And also he got no help on the ground, 60 yards rushing. Now they are without Carson. Oh my God, Chris Carson. Yes. Tyler Lockett, 5 yards, 66 yards, five receptions, 66 yards. DK Metcalf was shadowed by Jalen Ramsey, the best corner in the league. So two receptions, 28 yards. That's called playing against Jalen Ramsey. Jared Goff did not have any touchdowns, but threw the ball for 302 yards. Malcolm Brown had two touchdowns. Daryl Henderson had a touchdown. And that Rams defense is for real. Listen to this, y'all. Russell Wilson's QBR was a 31. Kyler Murray would never.
31.
31.
Are you, are we at the point now where are we taking Kyler Murray over Russell Wilson?
Oh, God. Hold on. No.
No.
I mean,
yeah, that's the right answer. The right answer is no.
No. Russell.
I'm in. Hi, I'm in.
Let me just tell you.
You're taking Kyler over Russell?
I cut the check and I've sold myself.
That's beautiful.
Here's the thing, bud.
At least when I'm committed, I'm committed, right?
I started betting it. That's true. I started betting on sports this year, and Fenton and I were betting together. You know what happened when I stopped betting with Fenton? I won. I started hitting bets.
A very factual story.
Let's talk about this game, Cam. Tom and I have taken over this segment here. Let's talk about the Seahawks. The only thing we can say about the Seahawks is that if Russell Wilson's not dealing, they can't win. I mean, go ahead, Cam.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would like to bring the listeners' attention to the fact that our fearless leader, Tony on Sports, has written an article about two players that are the winners, the MVPs this year, and that has been Josh Allen and Russell Wilson. How glorious to be 0-2. Like, to just know that you're 0-2 right now.
You guys want to know a secret?
What?
I didn't place a bet on either of those guys.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like, this, I was talking to, like, I tweeted out today that this Seattle stock has to regroup. And I obviously I'm talking about it as a stock, but like, this is just so weird. Mm-hmm. And I don't know necessarily what the answer is. Like you said, DK obviously had Jalen on him, but DK was pissed that today. And rightfully so, because there are three or four times where he's wide open and for whatever reason, Wilson just missed him or whatever. But this Rams defense is really good.
Yep.
And they're going to mask a lot of things that Jared Goff can't do as a quarterback.
Right.
Like Jared Goff is the epitome of the dude that can throw for 285 yards every game and throw for one touchdown every other game. Like he is just that guy. That is him. If you built that quarterback, you'd end up with Jared Goff. And they're going to be able to mask a lot of stuff because of how good they are defensively.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's much more we can really say about it other than the Rams defense is for real. And we now know that Jared Goff doesn't really need to win the games. Their defense will control the game. And if Jared Goff doesn't make mistakes, they're going to be very difficult to beat. If Jared Goff makes mistakes, which he's prone to do.
Yeah.
There are some that, there's some issues. One thing we do know from this game and from another game that we'll talk about right after this is people were confused that Jared Goff got a bigger deal and faster than Carson Wentz. I'm not so confused anymore.
That the Rams schedule the rest of the way out is interesting.
Especially
how gridlocked they are with the Cardinals and the Seahawks at the top of that division.
Yeah.
They go Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Arizona, New England on a Thursday, the Jets, Seattle, and Arizona to end their season.
Ooh.
That's an interesting end to the year. Like at 6-3 and they're playing really well, and they are. That 6-3 can turn 9-7 really well if Jared Goff goes the other way.
That 6-3 goes to 6-5 when they play Arizona twice, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Arizona's their last game. They end the season back-to-back weeks at Seattle and home versus Arizona. That's how they end their season.
Oh, well, at least they'll be prepared for the quarterback they're going to face twice, one better than the other.
Agreed, but that's not one of those. Like, we look at, you look at Cleveland and you're like, bang, 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 bang. And then you look at the Rams and you're like, maybe? Possibly?
The Jets, Rams are a maybe team, though. Yeah, the Rams are a maybe team, though. And the crazy thing about that is the last two games, like, they can go from wild card to division winners in 2 weeks. Like, that's the craziest shit.
They'll get everybody's attention if they hold the Bucs to 16 points. They'll get everybody's attention.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about the Eagles versus the Giants, which I have one last clip for. I will just tell you straight up, I don't think the Eagles are 4 points better than the Giants. I think the Giants are a much better football team right now. It doesn't say much. But legitimately, if the Giants hadn't gotten off to the bad start that they did, and it's crazy that they look as good as they do right now without Saquon Barkley, but if they got off to the start they did the last 3 weeks versus the beginning of the season, I mean, I think they would win the NFC East. They're not going to now. They're too far behind. Whoa. I think it's time to say this about the NFC East. The NFC East is bad. However,
great.
The Giants and the Washington football team are showing some things here in the middle of the season that show that division might not be bad for very long. The Cowboys will probably not continue to be really, really bad as long as, like, if Dak is there, they will win games because their offense will be ungodly good. But the Giants controlled this game against the Eagles. I think it is time to consider the Carson Wentz. The Carson Wentz experiment has to be gone. He had a 37.7 rating. He's not good. He has awful weapons around him. I understand that. Jalen Reagor, Richard Rodgers, who the hell, Dallas Goedert, Fulgham, he has nobody. But Danny Dimes has been decent. He did not throw a touchdown either, but he completed 21 of 28 passes for 244 yards for a 91.4 QBR. He ran for 64 yards and a touchdown. They had Wayne Gallman, who's replaced Saquon Barkley, who ran for 53 yards and two touchdowns. They controlled the ball on the ground. And let's not talk yes, Jones has better weapons. Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Evan Ingram, significantly better weapons, right? But the Giants, the Giants probably won't win the division. The Eagles will shamefully beat it. But I think the Giants are not an awful football team right now. I think they're actually an okay team, Cam.
I agree with you. I think the breakdown of the NFC East is very interesting. And we have to give the Giants – I think the Giants are – I picked the Washington football team to win this division, and honest to God, through nine games, I still have a shot, which is just unfortunate. But I think the Giants have a good play. And like what you said, looking out the next couple of years, what the football team and the Giants have been able to do, like everybody laughed when the Giants started hiring their coordinators because it's like failed head coach, failed head coach, failed head coach.
Right.
Tried to get an interview as a head coach, couldn't even get through the door. But when you put failed head coaches in the spot where they're actually supposed to be, they become really good coordinators.
Right. And
sometimes coordinators should not be head coaches because they're very good coordinators. And the Giants are doing something that are putting everybody in the right positions for them to win. The Cowboys will never win as long as Jerry Jones is the owner and GM of that team. Philly needs to give Carson Wentz more weapons, but the problem is they gave Carson Wentz $100 million, so now they have a $100 million problem that they have to get out of, which no other team in the league is going to take, except for maybe the Lions when Stafford walks away, because that's like the very Lions things for them to do.
They're not even that dumb.
And then you have the Giants and the football team that have a nucleus of young talent that they just need to figure out where they play best.
Yeah.
And it's going to take some time for them to figure out, but I love what Judge is doing in New York for the Giants. And I love what Rivera is doing for the football team. Trivia question. Which stock is ranked higher right now, the Eagles or the Giants?
Giants.
The Giants.
Excellent. You're both wrong. The Giants stock is at $17 a share right now. The Eagles stock is at, and I'm not kidding, $23.50 a share.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'll take the Giants stock. Question though, Tony, I was wrong and I'll own it. You mentioned if this Giants team was healthy, they would be, I think you said it would be great, but they would be good. They'd be good and they would win the division.
I said if they were playing like they have the last 3 weeks that they would would win the division. And you know what? I think they still might.
I'll go further. If they were healthy and Saquon was there.
Yeah.
This is a totally different team these last 3 weeks than they were weeks 1 through 4, even with him prior to the injury. Like, this is not an awful football team anymore.
No, at worst, if Saquon's hurt, at worst, this team is like 5-4, right?
Let's talk about how they've been losing games, though, and let's talk about the fact that we were probably overreacting about this Giants team. They lost 26-16 to the Steelers. Okay, guess what? That's a good performance. 17-13 to the Bears when the Bears were playing really well. Not a bad performance. Got pounded by the Niners 36-9. They only lost 17-9 to the Rams, and they lost to the Cowboys during the Dak Prescott game when they got – you know, when the injury happened and when that shit happens, the quarterback, like the team that had the quarterback go down seems to always win. So that's like, other than that, they lost to the Eagles by 1 point. That's a bad loss. Great loss against the Buccaneers, but like the rest of their schedule, man, like they've won 3 of their last 5. They got the Bengals next week. That's a super winnable game for them.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, though, when they played San Fran, it's one of the only times this year San Fran was actually healthy and had a full lineup. Like,
correct.
Yeah. Correct. I mean, this team is not as bad as I thought they were personally, and most people thought.
You know what that was? That game. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tony. I'm sorry.
Go for it, brother.
The Giants game was the game that Mullins stepped in for Garoppolo and threw for 360 yards.
Yes, it was.
That 49ers game. It was the first week. Nobody had tape on Mullins. Nobody knew what the heck he was, and he threw everywhere on him.
And now we know he's bad. But they have the Bengals next week, winnable. Hey, all of a sudden, the Seahawks. The Seahawks don't look so undefeatable now. Like, they don't look like they will probably lose that game, but would you be surprised if they won it? Not really. The Cardinals will smash them. They could beat the Browns, or they could, I mean, the Ravens, I don't know, probably not. And they will beat the Cowboys. They feasibly could get two or three more wins out of the schedule, maybe four wins if they get an off game. Like, if the Cardinals have a letdown game, it would be against like a Giants. They could win a few more, and I don't know if the Eagles – I just don't know about the Eagles. The Eagles have left the Browns next week. They're losing that game. The Browns are going to bounce back with a vengeance if the weather's fine. Even if it's not, they won't win. They play the Seahawks. I don't trust them to beat the Seahawks. They're going to lose to the Packers. They're going to lose to the Saints. They're going to lose to the Cardinals. They'll beat the Cowboys, and I don't think they'll beat the Washington football team. They have maybe one more win, maybe zero. I don't know if the Eagles will win another game.
And football team goes did you already do the Washington?
No, I didn't look at the football team schedule.
Washington has Cincinnati on the 22nd.
Yeah.
Then they go Dallas, Pittsburgh, loss, San Francisco, winnable.
Right.
Seattle, probably go Seattle. Carolina and Philadelphia.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Eagles are not winning this division. It's going to be the Washington football team or the New York Giants. That's who's winning this division. It will not be the Eagles.
Can I go worse with the Eagles aren't just winning the division? Do they bench Carson Wentz prior to week 16?
I mean,
that's where I'm at on this football team. Like, it is a mess.
You have to have enough fortitude to a family-friendly show. To bench a QB, I know that's why I said it. To bench a quarterback you're paying $100 million for.
Hey, I've especially seen worse things for Philly before,
especially knowing that Nick Foles is doing what he's doing in Chicago, which isn't great, but it's better than the dude that you gave $100 million to.
That's true. Let's get into the next game here, real quick, guys. Sure. There's two more games to talk about. We'll talk about Jags versus Packers first. And then we'll end with the battle of the rookies. So Jags versus Packers. Packers, they struggled really early. They struggled actually all throughout this game. It was, you know, like Tom knows this. I'll let you go after me. Tom, you know this as a NFC North fan. The Packers struggle with teams that make no sense that they struggle against. That's kind of always been the thing with Aaron Rodgers. It's very confusing.
Plays out to his competition.
He sure does. He still threw for 325 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. The best quarterback in the NFL was Kyler Murray today. It wasn't even close. Aaron Jones wasn't very good. He only ran for 46 yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had four receptions for 149 yards and a touchdown. Devontae Adams had eight grabs, 66 yards, and a touchdown. They did enough to win. Keelan Cole had a bomb touchdown reception. Jake Luton definitely looks like he will not be the answer instead of Gardner Minshew. That's for sure. The Jags are a mess. There's nothing else to talk about this team except I don't think that the Packers are a Super Bowl contender. I don't think they have the consistency to get there, and I don't trust them.
Here's the quick one for the Packers. They will win the NFC North, so obviously they'll get to the playoffs, no problem. Like, in and out. The concern right now is, like you mentioned, they're very inconsistent. I don't know what kind of football team I'm seeing week in and week out with the Packers. What I do know is I have Aaron Rodgers, who right. for the first time, maybe ever, I don't know if I can put a house bet on Aaron's going to throw for 250 and two TDs every week. And the reason why I say that, here's why. I'm saying every week. Here's the reason why I say that. That Green Bay team, as you mentioned, as a team, not as Aaron, as a team, plays really bad against bad football teams. And they still get to play the Lions twice. Like,
yeah, I'm, Yeah, but I mean, it's a little crazy to say you can't count on him to throw for 250 and two touchdowns when he has Davante Adams, right, Cam? Like, isn't that a little crazy?
I think it is. I think he's probably good for that 250, but like you guys are saying, it's going to be interesting to see them in the playoffs and having to, play up, right? Like their worst loss this year is to Tampa Bay, and they just got, I mean, that game was over very, very shortly after the national anthem was played. That game was
over. And they might face them again in the first round.
And then the loss to Minnesota, which goes back to Tom's point, which I don't know who I'm getting there. And it's weird, man. You're always going to have weird games like that. And then,
got a little frozen Cam action there in the middle of a good point, I think.
Frozen Cams.
Look at that. That's not good. Let's take him out of here.
Defrost going in defrost mode. Click it in.
I don't know. Let's say his internet. Oh, we lost you. There you go. There you are.
Defrosted. Yes.
Yeah. They're going to have a weird game. I think the Jags are going to be like, oh, we played Green Bay really close, when in reality you're 1-8. You really suck. neutral field. The Jets play the Jaguars. Are the Jets favored? The answer is yes, but by how much?
The Jet, like 2.5.
The Jets, like -2, right?
Yeah, like -2, -2.
Can you imagine a neutral site, no fans game, but you have to be in the stadium when the Jets and the Jaguars play?
That sounds awful. That just sounds awful. Let's talk about Dolphins versus Chargers. That's the last game I want to talk to you, because I still don't believe in Tua Tagovailoa. Like, this is my feeling about, and it's not going to change, I don't think. The Dolphins defense is one of the best three defenses in the NFL. They're every bit as good as the Steelers defense in my mind. I don't think that there's really much difference between them. They had a block punt today. They had two fumbles. Oh, hold on. Listen, where's this defense at? Where are we at here? They had two sacks. They had no defensive touchdowns. They did have my boy Xavien Howard from Baylor University, Sikkim, had an interception return for 28 yards. And their defense is very, very good. I think they have some interesting weapons in Miami for Tua to throw to. And Jakeem Grant, who looked pretty good today, even though he's tiny. Gesicki is a good tight end. Devontae Parker is good. But I just don't, like, 15, 25, 169 yards and two touchdowns. Like, what happens when you play Pittsburgh? Because, can Tua throw enough? You know, can Tua win you an offensive game like that? Because your defense is not going to be able to stop Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool and Eric Ebron and James Conner. Like, that's going to be a difficult matchup if they face them. Cam, and the Chiefs, even the Bills, there's a lot of bad matchups for this team if Tua can't throw them into a win, Cam.
I am not nearly as out there as you are on Tua. So let's start there.
I think he's fine. I just don't know if.
I guess my question would be, and this could be an hour-long therapy session, but what is your definition of I can't trust him, or whatever you said? Like, is he the real, like, it's been three games and he's and he's 3-0 in three games that he started.
Sure.
I don't know what else you're looking for.
So the thing is,
Herbert himself only threw for 185 and two.
No. And I'm not going to, Herbert's great, but he wasn't today. Sure, he played a good defense. The defense did what they have to do. Tua's first game, he threw for 96 yards. Get that shit out of here. The defense won that game. Fuck that.
Yes, you're right. Tua's first game going from the college level to NFL level, which is the hardest level in all of football.
I'm just saying, like, we are freaking, like, people are loving up on Tua, and I think that he is just fine. But I don't understand why you don't play Ryan Fitzpatrick with this defense when Fitzpatrick can throw you into wins. Like, Tua's fine, but is he a better option for them than then Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was winning games. Like, why did you make the switch? The offense got worse. The offense is much worse without Fitzpatrick. Why did you switch, Tom?
But that's the whole point, and that's what I can't understand. You threw Tua into a boiling pot for no reason. You could have had him learn the signals, the play calls, the defenses from the sideline. This is a team where I don't care if you sneak in, isn't doing a thing in the playoffs. So why are you risking your investment this year and putting him on the field when there wasn't a problem? There was not an issue. No one expected this Dolphins team to win 6 games, 7
right.
games.
Right.
But why would you just... To me, Tony, ultimately, I think good quarterbacks learn from the sideline. I think they learn under the understanding of, okay, I have no pressure. It's going to be my team, but let me learn. So again, to your point, though, I can't agree with you. He's not amazing. What I can agree with you is, why is he playing right now?
I have multiple questions and
go for it, brother.
Follow-ups. I think the answer just simply be that Tua wasn't starting yet because he wasn't comfortable enough, but then he got to a point where he was just smoking Fitzpatrick every day. It was dumb not to play him. And also to your point, if it's not worth playing Tua right now, then why are the Chargers playing Justin Herbert?
There's a difference. There's a difference here, though, right? With like Herbert, like, okay.
1,000,000%.
So Herbert is clearly significantly better than Tyrod Taylor. Like, not one of us would ever, like, when they switched to Herbert from Tyrod Taylor, I was like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. Like, a journeyman quarterback, which, yes, so is Fitzpatrick, a journeyman quarterback.
He's the definition.
Hold on, Doug. The last two games before, he ran up 43 points on the Niners and then 24-0 against the Jets. The defense was great. Now, last week, yes, Tua was great too, but it's just like, I think I'm just confused why they switched this guy. And so for me, because you switched from a dude that put up 67 points in 2 weeks on offense, I'm going to look at Tua and criticize him a little bit more, not because of him. Like, Tua's a great dude. He had a freak injury. He could not be playing football right now. It's an amazing story for him. There's no reason to hate the guy. I just don't understand the move when I think the offense was so much better with Fitzpatrick.
But what if he's just better than Fitzpatrick? Which, spoiler alert, he is. But what if he's just better?
That could be the case, yeah.
But if he's smoking Fitzpatrick every day in practice now, why would I play the guy that's getting smoked every day versus playing the rookie? And like, this is still, this team has not missed a beat since Fitzpatrick has come off the field.
No, and it's because their defense is so damn good. So it doesn't really matter who they have at quarterback. They're in the best situation you could be in.
But even offensively speaking, they're not sputtering that much. It's not like Fitzy was putting up 50 and then you bring in two and he's putting up 17, but they're winning late. Like, they, and also, by the way, the Dolphins didn't have Myles Gaskin today, who, you know, listen, he's not the Derrick Henry style running back, but he is that Alvin Kamara size running back.
They also didn't have
more prominent in the league. Like, he was still missing offensive weapons and he still went out and figured out how to, like, the Dolphins are like, is it too crazy to say the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East? They're a game behind Buffalo. Buffalo 7-3, the Dolphins are 6-3.
It's not crazy because their schedule is so damn easy. The Broncos, the Jets, the Bengals, they might lose next week because it's in Mile High and you just never know. You have then the Jets, they're not going to lose that game. They're probably not losing to the Bengals. They are probably losing to the Chiefs. They're probably not losing to the Patriots. They might lose to the Raiders, and then they finish with the Bills. The Bills have, I mean, that game is probably going to have both quarterback starts. The Bills have the Chargers next week, which you just don't know. Then the Niners, then the Steelers and the Broncos and the Patriots. They have very similar schedules. They both play a team that there's not, it's very unlikely that they win, which, you know, the Dolphins probably have a better chance of beating the Steelers because of their defense than the Bills do. The Dolphins probably have a better chance at beating the Chiefs because of their defense than the Bills do, but I think it's pretty much neither of them are winning those games. I mean, no, it's not crazy. You just have to hope, like, you have to hope that the Bills don't somehow beat the Steelers.
Yeah, I guess I've got to go the opposite way on this one with you guys. I guess I see no problem in them playing Tua. Like, he's good. He's good. They are 3-0. The offense is putting up points. The defense is still doing their job. It's not like the defense went, oh, well, Fitzpatrick's out now, so we're boycotting.
Right.
Like, this team is still a good team. And the NFL deserves to have Burrows, Herbert, and Tua all playing week in and week out. I think that's not necessary. I mean, who the heck am I saying to say what's necessary? But like, that's the right thing to have happen right now.
I mean, to be fair, I'm a bit of a hipster with some of my sports opinions. I like to just not really go all the way and commit to things. So there is a lot of hype on the old Twitter sphere about Tua, and I guess I just don't like. I'm not saying he's bad. I just okay, he's a quarterback and they can win some games, but I mean, I don't know what it is.
Well, and I guess the other thing too is like we've seen Fitzpatrick's ceiling. Fitzpatrick's ceiling is 7-9.
Sure.
That is his ceiling. That is what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. He does 7-9. He does 8-8. He has four incredible weeks back to back.
Right.
I mean, he could win the MVP. And then he has 2 weeks in a row where he throws for 185 yards, three interceptions, and he looks like he doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. We're there. Yeah. We know what he is. And he's good because he is still teaching Tua every day. Tua is still learning. He's just now learning with the ball in his hand.
Go ahead, Fenton. We took over for a little bit. Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
I look at it from this standpoint again, and I'll go back. I don't disagree at how he's played. I don't disagree at what Miami's doing. Where I disagree with, though, is the fact that he's playing. If Tua was healthy, he would have started week one. Obviously. Healthy playbook, everything else, they would have let him go. So why now is my question. Like, I get the reps in-game, and I get the in-game experience. My question now, though, is I have to go back at why did they switch quarterbacks? And I can't get over it. I'm sorry. So what he does this year, unless he does something incredible, I'm probably not going to monitor as much as I should.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just weird with it. I'm going to end up being wrong with Tua, and that's fine. Like, I'm fully aware that I'm going to end up just missing on not believing in Tua, and he's going to be very good, and he's going to have a much more successful career than Justin Herbert because he's in a much better situation, which is weird that the Dolphins are a good situation, but they are.
I'll end it by saying this. Tua's been in for three games, and he's beaten the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Chargers.
Yes.
I don't know what else more you want. Fitzpatrick lost to New England, Buffalo, and Seattle and beat Jacksonville, San Francisco, and the Jets. Congratulations. Right. Fitzpatrick lost to who he was supposed to lose to, and he beat who he was supposed to beat. Tua has now beaten two teams he was not supposed to beat and beaten a team he was supposed to beat.
Ooh, I disagree that they weren't supposed to beat it. I think it's a little crazy that they weren't favored last week against the Cardinals. Like, I was not shocked by that win. I was shocked that they won in a shootout. I thought that they would be able to control them. The Rams win, however, was incredibly surprising, but that's one of the best defensive performances we'll see for a long time. That defensive performance was amazing by the Dolphins. The Dolphins defense is amazing, by the way. Like, I'm ripping this team up, but yeah, I mean, they're going to win a playoff game. It doesn't matter if they're a wild card team or the division winner. They're probably winning a playoff game.
This is the Titans from last year. If there was
I trust this Dolphins team a lot more.
No, but I'm saying in the playoffs, if there was one team in the playoffs to be the Titans from last year, where they show up, everybody overlooks them, nobody thinks they're going to do much, and then they run the table to almost dang near the end of it, it's the Dolphins.
I think that's fair. Yeah. No, I will.
In that scenario, that's all I mean from the scenario.
I mean, I will tell you this. I do think that if I had to pick between Ryan Tannehill and Tua, I will take Tua twice on Tuesdays.
Sure.
Like, there's like no way by taking Ryan Tannehill over Tua. No goddamn way.
Nope. All right. Fair.
I just don't like, but I also, like, he's an Aggie and, like, fuck A&M.
Would you take Tannehill over Fitzpatrick? Then what's the argument for Tua?
I don't think I would. No, I don't think I would take Tannehill. I wouldn't take Tannehill over very many. I don't like Tannehill. Take
Tannehill over Fitzpatrick.
I don't like Tannehill. Listen.
I don't care if you don't like him.
He went to Harvard.
Breaking news. Cam said Tony is eating the edibles on the show. He is taking X over Y. Tony, what game we got next?
That's it. That's all of them, guys. Guys, thank you for listening to this very long episode of NFL Recap. We're about an hour 20, but I thought I had a good time. I don't know about you guys. I had a good time with it. Anything y'all want to plug before we get out of here?
Tony, or Tom. Not Tony. I was looking at Tony.
I don't plug things, Cam. So at CM Says Stuff is Cam. You can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Please respond to all his takes on the show. He would love your feedback.
I would. I really would.
Yeah, see? He really would.
Please just click like and subscribe. I'm not plugging anything. Just like the lion. I'm just going to squeak out the side of the back door and not win for a reason. So thank you.
There you go.
It's very strange to be in a show like where all of us are on the same network because the same shit, we're just plugging the same shit for like, hey, come back and listen to more.
Yeah.
Like when I did wrestling pods, it was like, hey, this is so-and-so from the so-and-so podcast that you probably haven't listened to. So maybe listen to their stuff. We're just trying to, you know, cross brand here. It's like there's 40 of us and we all do the same thing.
Yeah. Come back on Friday instead of Tuesday.
Yeah. Or like every day because there's a bunch of shit. But if y'all could, I'm going to move these guys out of the way. Let's please, if you could check out shootingthesportsish.com. You can see that here on the banner, shootingthesportsish.com. We have lots of articles. Cam actually just wrote some NBA trade pieces. One that's already out of date, but I changed it so that it was edited to say, hey, this would have been cool to happen. Four other pieces. So Lakers made a move on a Sunday, which nobody expected. So, yeah, it's not on you, Cam. Lakers made a move, which is crazy. We'll talk about that. We have lots of different stuff going on with we have some guys joining the team. We just started doing some sports betting. So check out the site and make sure you subscribe. YouTube.com/shootingthesportsish. We will be doing a lot more live streaming, gaming, all sorts of stuff. So if you are not sick of all the content we have, then turn on the alerts. If you're not, then like whatever. If you listen to podcasts, hit rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you next time.